joy was here in the class and enjoyed the. And now the first book of Hebrews is Paul. We found, or we believe, the theologians are at end. They don't know just which or who wrote it, but I believe anyone with a little spiritual discernment would see it was Paul. It's believed by the most of the writers to be Paul. And how that he, in the first chapter, we found that he was exalting the Lord Jesus. Oh, how he brought down to show by the experience that he had had on his road to Damascus. Now, Paul was, to begin with, a real theologian. Paul was taught under Gamaliel, one of the best teachers of that day. And he was smart and intelligent, and was a real shrewd Bible scholar. And I found this when he was on his road down to Damascus with letters in his pocket to arrest all those that were in the blessed old gospel way. And the man was sincere. But I've always believed that since Paul seen Stephen die, I think that must have got right next to him. When he consented to Stephen's death and held the coats of those who stoned him, then Paul was guilty of the blood of Stephen. Amen. And he confessed it, said, "I'm not even worthy," he said, "because I shed the blood of the martyr Stephen." Because he witnessed to it. And if you witness to anything, you're just as guilty as being a partaker of it. So if we witness, say, "Oh, yes, they ought to live this so-and-so," be careful what you say. Because you're guilty of the way your judgment goes. If you can't decide, don't say nothing. Just leave it alone. Then when you testify that you are a Christian, then you're guilty. See, you're guilty of being a Christian. And you must live to that. And when God makes a promise in the Bible, I see a man here in a wheelchair. When God makes a promise, he's guilty of that promise unless he brings it to pass. God's guilty when he makes a promise. And the scriptures are guilty until they're fulfilled. See, they're right there as a statement that God has made, and it's got to be fulfilled or God's guilty.
Amen.
See? And so Paul, being a teacher and coming on his road down to Damascus that day, about noontime, I suppose, there was a great light shined out of the heavens. And it blinded him, and he fell to the earth. And he said, "I want to know who it was." He said, a voice spoke and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I believe the 8th chapter of Acts. He said, "Who is it that I persecute?" And the voice came back and said, "I'm Jesus. Oh, I am Jesus, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And what was Jesus then? Jesus, he was a light. Just a big light shining bright. Now to encourage us and get a basis here. How was he a light when he was a man? Now, no one is a bunch of soldiers with Paul, temple guards, going down to put under arrest. Paul was the chief captain, and they were going down to arrest those people for their campaigns and so forth, and for their religious hope that lay within them. But now, here was Jesus as the big light. Now, if you remember, in the beginning, Jesus was a light. Jesus was the Logos that went out of God. And he was the angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he was a pillar of fire. Amen. That they looked at.
Amen.
And he was, you know, when he was here on earth, he said, "I came from God and I go back to God." Amen. So if he came from a pillar of fire into a man, then if he went back to where he went back to a light again. And there he was when Paul saw him. He was a light. Now, all those soldiers that was with Paul did not see the light. Then is it possible that one can see it and the others won't see it? Certainly. All right. Paul saw it. but the rest of them did not see the light. Now, when Peter was in prison, we find out this light came in the jail, opened up the doors, and that light blinded the rest of the guards as they walked out. Peter going, and when he got to the door, it just opened itself quietly, closed behind him from the inner jail. He went to the outer jail door, it opened by its own self, closed quietly, and then he went to the gap, went out into the city street, and he rubbed his eyes as if to say, "Was I dreaming?" He didn't know what had happened. But the angel of the Lord, the same angel that was a pillar of fire that walked Moses to the sea and spread her forth.
Amen.
Oh, and the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, walled up on both sides.
Amen.
And Israel passed over, and when they come to the swelling Jordan, he did not make himself visible there, but he was there because he just opened it up.
Amen.
And they went across in April when the plains are all full of water. And he stayed the spring. And he stayed the snow from melting. Because it didn't wall higher and higher. It just stopped. That's our Jehovah. That's our Lord Jesus. Just stopped. And they walked across on dry land. Now, God promised that he would take care of them, so he was obligated to his promise. Now, Paul, aware of these things and knowing them, he was privileged because God was speaking directly to Paul. He wasn't speaking to the soldiers that was with him. He was only speaking to Paul. Now, when the angel of the Lord came down in the form of a star, and the stargazers, the wise men of India, when they saw that star and followed it for hundreds of miles, and it went over every observatory because they kept the time of the stars, and no one saw that star but the wise man. Oh my, doesn't that thrill you?
Amen.
Then you see, God doesn't deal with organizations. He doesn't deal with groups of people. He deals with individuals.
Amen.
He reveals himself to individuals. And now to say this, God knows my heart. And not to say this for own personal praise, not just to be there. But did you know that same God,
Amen.
That same Jesus,
Amen.
Is with us this morning?
Amen.
You know each one of you has a little individual witness of it right now,
Amen.
That he's here, and he's done something for us in this day that he didn't do in the other day.
Amen.
He had his picture taken in this day.
We got it hanging right there, see?
The pillar of fire. The same Lord Jesus. Watch how he works. Now, if he's the same Lord Jesus, he'll do the same thing. For the Bible said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, before Paul would announce anything, whether this was right or wrong, he first went down into Egypt and spent 3 years to find out if it was scriptural or not. Did you ever know that? After Paul's conversion, he went to Egypt for 3 years. There he abode, and therefore he learned this great wisdom. Now, not in any comparison at all, I'm just giving you how the Holy Spirit still remains the same. Now, my church here remembers years ago when this angel would appear and would show things. I was a little skeptic of it. All of you know that, you old timers. If that's right, raise up your hand. When you've heard, you're looking at the church yet from the old timers. See? I was skeptic because preachers told me it was of the devil. And I kind of believed it. But I waited. I wouldn't say nothing about it. But oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. One night yonder he come down, an angel, and reveal it in the scriptures. And he was. And when I've seen it in the scriptures, then to blast across the world with it.
Amen.
The message from there is when Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, Tommy Osborne, Tommy Hickson, Watmore. See, it's a message to the people. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's scripturally. He's the same. He does the same. He is the same. And He works the same. He manifests Himself the same. And He's here this morning the same. Now, we may see Him, we may not. Whatever it is, we got a witness right now that He's here. Now, we find out that Paul, with all this experience, in writing these letters, most of them from jail, he has compared the Old and New Testament. Now remember, the last writer of this Bible, by inspiration, God came down and told him, if any man shall add anything to it, or take anything away from it, the same will be taken out of the part of the book of life for him. So we'd be daring to add one thing to it. Oh, it must stay as it is. Mustn't be anything added to it. And we must contend for everything that's in it. I don't want any more, and I don't want any less. I want just what it says. Now, this book of Hebrews, the reason I chose it, one purpose, one thing, this letter of dear Brother Branham and so forth, and we want to stay with the Word. Now, the first chapter was the exalting of Jesus. So He's the main one. And Paul let us know the other night that he was in the great beginning. And we found out that he was nothing less than Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the great of the seventh chapter. And now this morning we approach him from another standpoint from the second chapter. Now, after Paul giving us this great, marvelous message of exalting Jesus, and even made the angels to worship Him, and I think over here, like the earth hath only folded as a vesture, but they shall perish, but Thou remainest. Over in the second chapter, the second verse, I believe it is, hath He these days spoken to us by His Son, in the sundry times and divers manner He spoke with the prophets. We went through and found out what the prophets was and how God brought His message by the prophets. But in this last day He's spoken to His Son Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He spoke to the prophets then. Then we got back and found out all those prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. We went back to Joseph and found out he perfectly typed Christ. Went back to Moses and found he perfectly typed Christ. Then we come down then to even David. And when David was rejected in Jerusalem, not knowing why, but went up over the hill and looked back on the Mount of Olives and wept over Jerusalem because he was rejected 800 years from then, the son of David was rejected as king in Jerusalem and sat on the same hill and wept. Oh, the Spirit of Christ dealing with individuals. Now Paul starts off to say, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Second chapter now, we're starting. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. Oh, may God drive that home in this tabernacle this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit will sink that so deep into your hearts. We ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we've heard. What type of people ought we to be when we see the great Jehovah come down and do the things that He does and see Him compared Scripture by Scripture that they're the truth? And we sit around sometimes like a warts on a log. And just so unconcerned, we ought to be busy every minute trying to get people to Christ. We ought to be lively stones. We should never be slowful like we are. We'll go up to church and we'll see the Lord Jesus do something or bless us in such a way. And then we'll go back and say, very nice meeting. Now the preaching of the Word, we enjoy it, but that's not the main thing. We should not worship the Lord just after we get through preaching the Word as we usually do. Just worship Him. That's wonderful. But we should worship Him every hour of our life. When we're at work, we should worship Him. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of Him. If you see some of you ladies see a woman in the wrong, worship the Lord by taking her and saying, sister, there's a better life than this. You manage your work. When you hear a man using the name of the Lord in vain, get a chance on one side and sit over and take him by the hand and say, there's a better life than this. You shouldn't use those words. And tell him in a meek, gentle way, all those things is a worship. And when we see someone sick, and the doctor says there's no more can be done, we are to worship the Lord by telling him there's a God of heaven that answers prayer.
Amen.
And then when we see those things take place that we do see take place in them, we should never let these things slip. We just let it go through our fingers. That's what's the matter with the great Pentecostal church today. They've let the very cream of the crop slip through their fingers. When they had it in their hands. But look what they've done. They've done like the rest of the churches. They've run in the game in the way of Korah and perished, and the way of Cain and perished in the game stand of Korah. They've organized. Instead of having a brotherhood where we could all be one, they've organized themselves. Made little organizations and little isms and sprung up from there and just broke up brotherhood. And if you don't watch, the Baptists and Presbyterians go to pick it up. Because God's able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. And we've let it slip away from the hand by being disunified. How did the Indians lose this country to the white man? It's because they were disunified. If they'd made one big forefront, but they were fighting one among each other, they would have held their grounds if they'd all come together. How are we going to lose it? Because we're disunified. How are we going to lose our experience with God? It's because we disunify. We set up one and call this the Methodist, and this the Baptist, and this the Assemblies, and this the Oneness, and this the something else, and the Church of God, and the Nazarene, the Pilgrim Holiness. We disunify the body of Christ. We should never be divided. We might differ in ideas, but let's be heart and heart brothers.
Amen.
God wants us to be. He died for the entire Church of God.
Amen.
And we do not want to be disunified. Now, we ought to give the most earnest heed. Lest any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast.
Amen.
You hear? If the words spoken by the angels. Now, angel is the messenger.
Amen.
The word angel means a messenger. And it just got through in the first book here. God in sundry times and divers manner spoke to the fathers by the prophets. That was God's messengers.
Amen.
And if they were God's messengers, they were God's angels. A messenger is an angel, or an angel is a messenger, rather.
Amen.
A messenger. You are a messenger this morning. You are a messenger of good news or a messenger of bad news.
Amen.
No worship Him. That we are God's messengers to the sinful world, that Christ lives. In our hearts He lives. In our spirits He lives. And He brings us from the low, debauched life of sin and exalts us up and gives us a hallelujah in our soul and makes us new creatures. We are messengers, angels of the covenant. How wonderful. And now in the Old Testament, if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, that word, it had to be right.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, before a prophet's word could be made manifest, it had to be examined and proved.
Amen.
They wasn't loose with it like we are today.
Amen.
Just go out and have any kind of sensation or anything else. Oh, glory to God, that's it. You're mistaken. The Bible says that in the last days the devil will impersonate Christianity so close till it deceives the very elected, if possible. That's right. So we must test it. And how did they test it in their day? To the Urim Thummim, the breastplate of Aaron that had those stones in it, carbuncle, jasper, diamond, ruby, sapphire. All those stones that represent the birth of these 12 patriarchs was in the breastplate of Aaron. And when a prophet prophesied and that sacred light flashed over it, God said, that is the truth. But no matter how real it seemed, if it didn't flash on that, it wasn't the truth. So that Urim Thummim went with that priesthood. But this Bible is God's Urim Thummim today. And when a prophet prophesies, it must absolutely flash with the Bible. Then God says, then He comes down and proves it. Oh, how I can glorify God today.
Amen.
I'm thinking back of another Sunday morning about like this, when I was leaving the tabernacle. And you people were weeping and asking me not to go.
Amen.
But when I preached on David and Goliath.
Amen.
And how are you going to face that cold and different world that says the days of miracles is past? I said there's one big giant. And as soon as we can slay him, the rest of them will take courage. And the Lord granted that. And then there was an old Roberts and the Jaggers and so forth pulled the sword, and we fought the enemy out of the land. Shut their mouths. They can't say that miracles don't happen because here they are. Sure, God's word is eternal. It flashed on the Urim. Flashed on the word. That's the Urim Thummim. And when it flashed on that, it was positive. To anybody that's needy, if you're a sinner, you want to know how to get saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we got so many things you have to do. You have to turn new pages, you have to do this and do that in order to get saved. I think of the Philippian jailer. When this jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? If in you or I, we'd have told him the things he ought not to do. You ought to quit drinking, you ought to quit gambling, you ought to quit this, you ought to quit that. Paul never told him that. He just told him the things he ought to do.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Now, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That's the Urim Thummim flashing. St. John 5:24. My Lord, he is all thy diseases. James 5:14. Call the elders on and all prayer, they shall save the sick, the Urim of flashing. That's God's eternal word. I don't care how many atheotic, infidelic, agnostics, skeptics rise up, God will stand by His word. He promised He would do it. And we ought to give a more earnest heed to these things which we heard. lest any time we let him slip. For if the words spoken by angels, the prophets, were steadfast, were they? We could spend a week on this.
Praise God.
Was it steadfast when Moses spoke?
Amen.
It sure was.
Amen.
I don't mind Elijah sitting up on top of the mountain. The Lord told him, get up there, Elijah. I'll stay there with you. Want some fellowship. God likes to fellowship with his people. But we won't stand still long enough for him to fellowship with us. We're so busy skipping about from place to place and so much. Sit still, Elijah. He wanted 3 years and 6 months of fellowship. We can't give him 3 minutes hardly. 3 years and 6 months of constant fellowship. Oh, I love that. So don't worry about the cooking. We'll have that already fixed up. The crows is going to feed you. And everything's going to be all right. I just want some fellowship. This old prophet Elisha sitting up there on top of the mountain while he was fellowshipping with God, while the captain said, I believe I'll go up and get him. Now, don't you never try to break that fellowship.
Amen.
So the captain come up with his great army of man at 50, and he said, I come to take you, Elijah. And Elijah stood up, watch out. Here's the prophet of the Lord. He said, if I be a servant of the Lord, let fire come from heaven and devour you, and down come the fire. Captain said, oh, you know what? The king, brother, said that was probably a thunderbolt. And some lightning is passing over and it struck him. I said another 50. Elijah stood up. One of the angels, his word, steadfast. Yet be a just recompense for everything that was done wrong. He said, if I be a servant of the Lord, let fire come. And the second 50 burned. All right. Every recompense. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Now, here's the great thing, the next verse. How shall we escape? How shall we escape? If Elijah's voice brought destruction because he was an angel of the Lord, how will we escape when the voice of Christ speaking to you? Or how can we fail when you're prayed for? If it's the voice of Christ.
Amen.
If Christ ordained his church to pray for the sick, and the church does what he says he for them to do, then how can it ever fail?
Oh,
it can. You can fail, but it can't fail.
Amen.
And as long as you keep it, it'll take you through.
Amen.
If you fail by yourself. You just get away from the Word. But as long as you stay with the Word, it can't fail.
Amen.
For the Word of the prophets did so and so. How much more will the Word of Christ be? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at the first begin to be spoken unto us by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Think of it. Spoken by the Lord. How many times could we go back? Where could we stop right here for an hour? When Jesus came, he's the same yesterday and forever. Now remember, it first began to be spoken by Jesus himself, and then was confirmed by the ones that heard him. Now, listen at him. When he came to the earth, he didn't claim to be a healer. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me.
Amen.
He doeth the works. The Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. St. John 5:19. Watch when Philip came to him. Nathanael, after Philip's conversion, he went over and got Nathanael. Said, come see who we found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And he said, could there be any good thing come from Nazareth? Said, come see. That's the way to be convinced. Prove it. Come and see.
Amen.
Oh, that's the best I ever heard. Come and find out for yourself. Don't stand out and criticize on the sideline, but prove all things and hold fast to that was good.
Amen.
Come and see. Along the road they went talking. When he walked up in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile."
Amen.
It took all the skin off of him, nearly. He looked around and said, "Well, Rabbi, when did you ever know me? You never did see me. How do you know me?" Philip said, "Before Philip called you yesterday, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you."
Amen.
Amen. He said, "Thou art the Son of God. You're the King of Israel."
Amen.
A woman walked into his presence and he said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I have none." Said, "That's right. You got five, and the one you're now living with is not yours. You told the truth. Think of it."
Amen.
She said, "Sheriff, I perceive that you are a prophet. That we know that when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things." He said, "I'm he that speaks to you." And she ran and told the man of the city, "Come see a man who told me all that I did. Isn't this the Messiah?" It was spoken by the Lord. What happened? Jesus said before he left, "The things that I do shall you also." Is that right? "The things that I do shall you do also, even more than this, for I go to the Father." Oh, I can see them as they went forth everywhere, Mark 16, went forth everywhere, preaching the Lord,
Amen.
Working with them, confirming the Word.
Amen.
And here Paul giving the same thing. He said that the gospel began to be preached by Jesus and was confirmed to us by those who heard him.
Amen.
That's the foundation stone.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the foundation stone. And the faith, 2,000 years has passed. Atheists have raised an infidel and skeptics and agnostics.
Yeah.
But today, that same Jesus confirms his word in the same air for those who hear him.
Amen.
Hearing don't mean just to hear a sermon. That means hear him. Yes. How shall we escape? Where is our escape? Oh, you say, "Bless God, I belong to the Methodist Church. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Pentecostal." That doesn't have one thing to do with it. And you get on the sideline and want to call it spiritualism or some mental telepathy or some devil or something. Hang on! If every word was steadfast by the angels, Jesus said, "It's not a little while in the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age."
Amen.
And when we see him come down to continue to confirm his word, how shall we escape if we sucker to some church or some organization or denomination or some little pet theory of our own?
Amen.
We better turn loose. For every sin received a just recompense. Are the angels how much more when the Son of God is speaking from the heavens to make manifest his word? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, my. God also, fourth verse, God also bearing them witness. Watch this. The Lord bore witnesses. Oh, I am so happy for that. The Lord bore the witness. Look, when Elijah sat on the hill, and he said, "If I be a man of God,
Let the fire fall from heaven and consume you. God bore witness that he was a man of God. God always bears witness. Your life will bear witness. I don't know what your testimony is, but your life speaks aloud. Your voice can't be heard. But your living, your everyday life will testify what you are. God bears witness.
Amen.
Yes, the Holy Spirit is a seal. And a seal takes both sides of the paper. They see him standing here and see him when he go away. Not only church, but at everyday work. You're sealed on both sides. Inside and outside. By the joy that you have. And by the life that you live. You're sealed in and outside. That you know you're saved and the world knows you're saved. By the life that you live. For God bears witness. Blessed be his holy name. I feel religious. Think of it. Brother, there's all my sheep here, my voice. And a stranger they won't follow. Oh, how that our names are on the palms of his hands just before him day and night. His word is always before him, his promise. He can't forget it. And he loves you. Now he'll bear witness of his own. If you don't open your mouth and say a word, the world will know something's happened to you. Bear witness. Both by signs and wonders, and by divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let us take just one scripture now before closing. On the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, about 4 days later, Peter had passed to the gate called Beautiful, he and John. They said, look on us to a man. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man looked up and never questioned nothing about it. He just stood up and went walking. They were ignorant and unlearned men. But the Bible said they had to take heed to them. For they knew they had been with Jesus. Brother, when the world knows that you've been with Jesus, when you can live such an unadulterated life in this present world and in this darkness, that the world knows and can see that you've been with Jesus. When a rugged old vulgar prostitute of the street can become a lady washed in the blood of the Lamb. God's bearing witness that he lives. Take a drunkard who's so low down that he would run around on his wife. That he would mistreat his children and take the food from the table to spend on a prostitute. Let him get with Jesus once.
Amen.
You'll see him returning like Legion. Who was in his right mind and clothed to his babies and to his wife and to his loved ones. Certainly, some time ago, about 40 years ago, when the religions of the world met and the different ones got up and spoke, and the Mohammedans spoke for the Mohammedan religion. The Jains spoke for the Jains, the Buddhists for the Buddha. And when little doctor, I forget what his last name was just at this time. I didn't know his name, but I had forgotten. He spoke to represent Christianity. And he told the story of Lady Maccabee of Oklahoma in America. She was so ornery and so low down. So even when they went to kill her, they wouldn't even put their hands on her. She's so vulgar and vile. They had her arrested on a charge, smoking a cigar, driving a stagecoach, and broke the laws, the records in Oklahoma when she passed through the street driving 4 head of horses. And she was so vile and so dirty. Until society wouldn't even get around where she was at. So much so when the executors was going to execute her, they wouldn't hang her. They just poured tar and feathers on her to kill her. And when this little preacher gave her story in such a way that they had the people sitting on the end of their seats to listen what would be next, when he got down to that very foul, dirty, low down to the gloves, wouldn't even want a fool to see her so low. The very devil of hell would reject such a person, nearly, the way he told the story. Then he said, "Gentlemen, of the religions of the world, has your religion got anything that would clean the hands of Lady Maccabee?" Everybody sat still. Then he clapped his hands together and jumped up in the air. He said, "Glory be to God! The blood of Jesus Christ will only clean your hands, but it'll clean your heart and make your hands white." Tell you, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Certainly, how shall we escape if we neglect such? You neglect to eat, you'll die. You neglect to turn a corner, you'll wreck. You neglect to milk the cow, she'll go dry. You neglect your teeth, you'll have to have them all pulled out. Certainly, you pay for your neglect. Oh, Grand Tabernacle, new visitors, let me tell you something now. You neglect to testify the glory of God. You neglect to give God the praise and glory. You'll find yourself cold, farmland, backslidden one of these days. You give God praise. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It's getting late. I just happened to notice Brother Tom walked in back there. We'll close and continue this tonight. Amen. The Lord willing.
Amen.
Let us pray just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, to Thee be blessings and praises and honor and glory and wisdom and might and power forever and ever. Oh, to that Lamb that sit on the throne, dominions and kingdoms and everything was given over to His hand. When He raised from the dead for our justification, He screamed to the world, "All powers of heaven and earth is given into my hand. Go ye therefore to all the world and preach the gospel." Oh, dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Help us as ministers to see that we are requiring so much. How we must have a church. We must have this. We must have everything. Our women, before going to churches, yet calling themselves Christians, will have to have a certain kind of a dress, or have to be dressed so badly. And preachers will have to have so much money before they'll come, and everything has to be so-and-so. Oh, Christ. When I read here how they wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, lived in the dens of the earth and caves, they wander about under vile persecution and yet obtain the faith under the ministry of angels. How will we escape when the Lord Jesus has given us fine homes and cars and clothes and food, and we murmur, we sit around, we're lazy, we never try to get out and do something about it? How will we escape, God? Oh, I pray that You'll burn old-fashioned conviction into every heart this morning, Lord, that the people might be up and at. Let us work while the daylight is shining, because the sun is swiftly sinking and civilization is going, and there will be no more time. It will blend into eternity. Oh, God, grant today that we go with fresh vision, with wisdom, with understanding, to know how to approach sinners and bring them to Christ.
Hear the prayer of your servant, Lord. I ask that there be any here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, remember me, Brother Branham? Would you just raise your hand and say, remember me? I want to be a Christian. I don't want to neglect it any longer. God bless you back there, sir. Someone else say, I want to raise my hand, Brother Branham, and I want to accept Christ as my Savior. I've neglected all the time. Oh, I go to church. Sure, I belong to church. I'm first and study the Scriptures so he could compare it and would see whether it was the truth or not. He took it to truth by the Old Testament. Now, Paul was an Old Testament scholar. How many of you know that?
Amen.
He was taught under one of the best scholars of his day, Gamaliel. Outstanding scholar. And Paul knew the Old Testament. And I think his first shaking, as I said this morning, when he witnessed the death of Stephen. Something must have got a hold of Paul, because all through his writings he kept referring to it. I'm not worthy, because I persecuted the church unto death. I'm the least among them. Oh, but God had a different thought of it. He was one of the mightiest men of the day.
Amen.
See St. Paul, the great apostle, with his robe so bright and fair. The poet said, oh, there's sure to be some shouting when we all meet there.
Amen.
That great day when I see him receive the martyr's crown, the martyr reward. I stood the little old pen here, and I'll go where he wrote these letters. And then they chopped his head off and pitched him over into the sewer, to wash down the sewer. This little Jew there, he said, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I fought with beasts at Ephesus, but I fought a good fight.
Amen.
I finished the course. I kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not only me, but all who love his appearing. How I love that. Oh, I want to be numbered with those. We used to sing a song, oh, would you be numbered as one of his folk? Would you be numbered as one of his folk? Be spotless with him. Be watching and waiting that sight to behold. He's coming again. I want to be one of them. Now the writer goes ahead to say, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, as we taught on that this morning. Second verse deals, For if the word spoke by angels, what do we find angels to be? Prophets.
Amen.
God spoke in sundry time. Now you have to make not our own idea, but the Bible.
Amen.
Now the first verse, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake to the fathers by the prophets.
Amen.
Now he goes over here and says, again, for if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, then what does an angel mean? Messenger. If God anointed messenger, and then if we be anointed, we are God's messengers.
Amen.
We are messengers to the world, an ambassador of heaven.
Amen.
Professing that we are pilgrims and strangers, we're not of this world, but we seek a city to come whose builder and maker is God. We lay not up treasures on this earth where thieves break in and moths rust and corrupt, for our treasures lays in heaven, where Jesus sits at the right hand of the majesty. Oh, what a glorious and marvelous thing to know that our hopes are built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When all around my soul gives way, then he's all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds is sinking sand. All other grounds is sinking sand. How Eddie Pruitt wrote that song in the times of persecution. Now, if the word spoke by angels was
steadfast. When the messenger of God spoke the word, it stood. And every reward received a just recompense of the Lord. How shall we escape now if we don't hear Christ who speaks from heaven? Now watch. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Think of it. Which in the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Christ began his work. What did he do? We watch him how he humble, lowly. How he was a great, noted man as a theologian. But he was humble, meek, gentle. He wasn't a mighty preacher. His voice wasn't heard in the street. But John went forth as a roaring lion.
Amen.
He was a preacher. Jesus come forth not as a roaring lion, but God working with him, confirming the word.
Amen.
God was with Christ. Peter said at the day of Pentecost, ye men of Israel and you that dwell in Judea, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among him of signs and wonders and miracles, which God did by him in the midst of you all, which you all are witnesses. Watch how he pinned it down on them.
Amen.
You should have known him. Jesus said, you hypocrites. Said you go out and look at the sun and it's red and lower and you say it's going to be foul weather. And if it's bright and sunny or so forth, you say it's going to be fair weather. Said you can discern the skies, but the signs of the time you cannot discern. For if you would have known me, you'd know my day.
Amen.
Oh, what he'd scream tonight.
Praise.
How his spirit screams to his preachers. The hour is at hand.
Amen.
We discerned, we watched the atomic bombs. We know who's going to take Clark Gable's place and who's going to do this, that, or the other, or who'll be the vice president. We're interested in that, but we cannot discern the signs of the time. We're at the end. Why is it? We're so interested in what's the next chapter of television. What's Susie going to do, or what that woman's name is, and where Arthur Godfrey's going to, what kind of a joke she going to pull the next time. We as Christians gum our mind full of such tommy rot when we ought to be in prayer somewhere and study the Bible.
Amen.
To know the signs of the time we're living in. What does that a lot of time is weak pulpits.
Amen.
That's right. Let's go get down and bring the gospel truth.
Amen.
We're going to have the answer for that in the days to come. We must not neglect anything. And the people that we are here at this grand tabernacle to see the signs and wonders and the power of the resurrected Christ. And then to know that we would place our times upon other things and neglect to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The third verse, or the fourth verse, here's where we ended on the fourth verse this morning. God also bearing them witness. Oh, my. God bearing them witness. Listen to the word. Both with signs, wonders, and with divers miracles. What is divers miracles? What is diver? Diver means many. With many miracles, God bore witness. Oh, God, I trust that it'll soak into your hearts. Listen, I'm one of your pastors with Brother Neville here. I want you to take it to record. The Bible says, if there rise one among you, and he says such and such, and it doesn't come to pass, don't hear it. For I haven't spoken. But if he speaks in my name, and what he says comes to pass, then hear it. Amen. For I am with that prophet, or preacher, whatever it may be. If what he says comes to pass, then hear him. Now, friend, Let's hear him. The Holy Spirit speaking in our midst, showing divers miracles and signs and wonders. Let's just not pass over it as just common happenings. Let's remember that it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, confirming his word. We must do it. Oh, please do it. Take heed. Let every other thing be secondary. Even your home, your husband, your wife, your children, whatever it may be, put it second. Place God first. You say, Brother Ben, over my children, over anything. Place God first. Let him be first. Elijah come off the mountain one day. He was an angel, a messenger. God's messenger anointed. And he found a widow woman picking up two sticks. He said, go bake me a little cake and fetch me a little water. And she said, as your soul liveth, I have but just enough cakes or enough wheat dough to make one little pancake. And I just have enough oil to go in it to mix it up for shortening. And I'm picking up two sticks. The old-fashioned way was the Indian way of crossing the sticks and burning from the middle. Keep pushing in. Made a mini campfire like it. Said, and I'm going to cook that little cake for me and my boy, my baby. And we're going to eat it and die. There's been a drought for 3 years and 6 months. No water, nowhere. The external prophet looked that woman in the face. He said, go bake me a cake first. What a command for a man to tell a widow woman starving to death to feed him first. What did he say? For thus saith the Lord, the barrel will never go empty until the crew's dry until God sends rain on the earth. First God. She went in and baked that little cake and come give it to the prophet and went right back and baked another and another and another and another. And the barrel never went into the crew's dry until God sent rain on the earth. She put God before her children. She put God before anything else. She's taken the kingdom of God first. God must have first place in your heart, first place in your life, first place in everything that you do or what you are. God must be first. He doesn't want the second place. He doesn't deserve the second place. He deserves the best and the first and all that we've got. He deserves it. Blessed be his holy name. For God also bearing witness, he gave testimony, both with signs and wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Not what man said, what the church said, but what God's will was. Oh, we need to seek the will of God. Not the favor of your neighbor. Not the favor of your children. Not the favor of your husband or your wife, but seek the will of God. Do that first. Then everything else, the will of the wife and the will of the children, will fall right in with it. But place God first. Watch now. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Otherwise, the great angels that ministers in the heavens, Gabriel, Michael, Woodworm, and the tens of thousands times tens of thousands of angels of heaven, or the tens of hundreds of prophets that's been on the earth. Every one of them, he's never put any of them to have control over the world to come that we speak of. Not a one.
He never said, Isaiah, you control the world. He never put the world in subjection to Elijah. Neither did he put it to Gabriel or any angel, any ministering spirit. Watch what he said. Paul still magnifying Christ. Whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified sin. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou would visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and with honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Now, if you want to read that, it's in Psalms 8, 4 and 6. David speaking. Now, what did he call David here? That settles it right there. Well, it was right this morning on the prophet. He said, for one of the angels set in a certain place. David, the messenger of God, was an angel of God, for he was a messenger of God. The angel said, David said, and the Psalms, thou didst make him a little lower than the angels of heaven. An angel said that God made him lower than an angel, that he might crown him, he might suffer and taste death to be exalted up again, that he might make him inherit all the things of the world. In Matthew 28, 18, we read these. After he had been crucified and rose again on the third day, he met with his disciples and commissioned them to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, all powers in heaven and in earth have been given unto my hand. All the power in heaven, all the power in earth has been given unto me. What was it? Man and God had united. The Logos had been made flesh and had been killed and rose again for our justification and would then be anointed Emmanuel forever and forever. God changed his dwelling place from a throne in the spacious earth to the heart of his Son, Christ Jesus, to live and reign forever. God was in Christ. He's the final resting place of the Spirit. The Spirit stayed in a tabernacle one day. You know that. Under tent. And Solomon built him a house. But how be it the Most High dwelt not in houses made with hands? But a body hast thou made me. Over in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, when he was speaking, he said, all of them foresaw it. They built tent for him. Moses did, had a tent and put the ark in there. For God was on the mercy seat. He didn't dwell there. All that thing a body hast thou made thee. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, made lower than the angels to taste death, and none but the very highest of high. Christ, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of every star in the universe. Oh, God, he became lower than his creation, that he might redeem man, home with, help with man, and give them a home in heaven. He left the glories of heaven. He left the highest name that could be called. And when he was on earth, man gave him the lowest name that they could give him. Said he was an illegitimate baby to start with. Born in a manger, resting rags off the back of the yoke of an ox. No place to go. Had no home to go to. And was called Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. He was mistreated. He was spit on. He was made fun of. He was rejected. And went to the lowest pits and stooped to the vilest of prostitutes. That's what man does to him. But God raised him up so high that he has to look down to see heaven. Men give him the lowest seat, give him the worst place, the lowest name. God raised him up, give him the highest seat and the highest name. That's the difference. What man done with the Son of God and what God done with the Son of God. He stooped
that we might be lifted. He become us, that we through His grace might become Him. He come to the homeless and became homeless Himself, that we might have a home. He came to the sick and was made sick Himself, that we might be healed. He came to the sinner and made sin Himself, that we might be saved. No wonder He was exalted. No wonder He is who He is tonight. God has exalted Him. And all the powers of heavens and earth is given to Him. When His earthly work had been finished here on earth, He came to the earth as soon as it is. The morning star declared Him to be the Son of God. He shook every devil that He came in contact with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Devils trembled and shook and begged for mercy in His presence. Yes, sir. All hell knew who He was. Walked humble. He had not a place to lay His head on a rainy night. The very animals that He created, the birds of the air, has nests and the foxes that have dens. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His blessed head. Sure He was. He became sin, became low and forsaken. But the devils know who He was. They pleaded for mercy. They said, why do you come to torment us before our time comes? While the preacher was calling Beelzebub the fortune teller, the devil was calling the Son of the living God. Begging for mercy. Oh, how we could only stop just a minute. Who are you anyhow? What does that job you've got mean? Or what does that little house we own mean? What does the car we own mean? Pretty little girl, you little sassy thing. What does that little look that you have now? You young man with a shiny, slick hair. Straight shoulders, you'll bend down someday with stupid age. But blessed be the Lord. You've got a soul that's born again. You'll live forever and ever because He become you that you through His grace might become Him. Make a place for you. Oh, we who think that we got a change of clothes and a few groceries in the house, what are we? God can take it in a second. Your very breath holds in His hand. And Him in our midst to heal the sick, to proclaim and profess and to foretell and every time perfect. And even to concern enough to bring a little dead fish back to its life again. In the midst of us, Jehovah around us, Jehovah in us, the great mighty I Am. When He died, they thought they had Him. He ascended into hell. When He left the earth that day when He was crucified, He went into the region of the lost. The Bible said He went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not in the long suffering of days of Noah. When He died and His Spirit left Him, He became the Logos again. He said, I came from God, I go back to God. And God was that pillar of fire that led the children in the wilderness. And when He was here on earth and when He died, He turned back to a light again. Paul saw Him and He was a light. None of the rest of them saw Him. They seen Paul fall. Something struck Him. And it was a light. Paul said, who is it that I persecute? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? He said, who is it? He said, I'm Jesus that you persecute. And it's hard when you kick against the pricks. Then he went and studied that light. Paul went back in the Bible to find out what that light was. And he wrote this letter. He's the same Jehovah. That same light was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And when Peter was in the prison, he was a light that came in and opened the doors. And by His grace, so none will have any excuse. Oh, if they can forget the illiterate messengers. And remember, it's not the messenger, it's the message. He's come down again with us in a form of a pillar of light. And He moves with His same miracles and signs. Nothing out of the Bible. Staying right with the Bible. Holding it under subjection. Bringing out His glory. Showing His power. Blessed be His holy name. I know you must think that I'm crazy. But oh, that blessed eternal rest that's in my soul. Those farms may wave my anchor holds within the veil. And the sea when he died till the moon took a nervous prostration. The sun went down in the middle of the day. And when he went to the regions of the lost, knocked on the door, and the door swung open. The Bible said he preached to the souls that were in prison. That repented not of the long suffering in the days of Noah. After he had deceased on this earth. My brother, my sister, when he deceased, his earthly work was done, but he was still working. And he's still on the job tonight. Amen. He knocked at the doors of the lost. The Bible said he did. And he witnessed, I am the seed of the woman. I'm he that Adam spoke of. I'm the one that Enoch said would come with 10,000 of his saints. I'm the son of the living God. And you send away your day of grace. But it was prophesied to you by the angels, Enoch, Noah, and I must come to fulfill every word of God's Bible. Now I'm here as a witness in this land of the lost. And he preached to them. On down to hell he went. Right down to the doors of hell. Knocked on the door, the devil opened the door and said, I got you now. Jerked them keys from his side. Said, you devil! You've helped the bluff for a long time. Here it is right here in the Bible. We'll get to it in a minute. You've helped the bluff for a long time, but I've come to take over. Grabbed those keys and kicked him back in and shut the door. Come through and picked up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. On the third day he arose, and those that sat in the grave arose with him. Oh, hallelujah. Though one of the poets said, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. Amen. Someday he's coming, oh glorious day.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed be the tile it binds our hearts with Christian fellowship.
Amen.
The love of God. When he rose, he wasn't finished yet. He had some more work to do. The Bible said he ascended on high and give gifts unto man. There was an atmosphere hung on the earth of darkness, of gloom, of death and weary. The prayers couldn't come up because the atonement wasn't made. But he broke through that veil. He opened up the way. He broke the veil of sickness. He broke the veil of sin. He broke the veil of weary. He broke the veil of depressed. He broke every veil and made a highway. For the wayfaring man, walking up the king's highway. Oh my, when he passed the moon and the stars. On and on, following behind him come the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They walked right on up into the heavens of heaven. On their way, away from the city, I can see them lift up their eyes. Abraham said, that's the city that I long to see. Oh, come here, Isaac. Come here, Jacob. Oh, we were pilgrims and strangers in the earth, but there's the city. There's the one we waited on. And the Bible said they screamed, lift up the everlasting gate and be ye lifted up, for the King of Glory is coming in. And the angels behind the gate screamed back to these angels back here and said, who is this King of Glory? And the angels, I hear the prophet said, the Lord of hosts of mighty in battle.
Amen.
And they pressed the buttons and the big doors swung open.
Hallelujah.
Right down through the middle of the street to come the conqueror.
Hallelujah.
Triumph with the Old Testament saints walking behind him. Sit down on the throne. Said, Father, here they are. They're yours. He said, climb up here and sit down until I make all your enemies your footstool. As we read, we find that on here in the Scripture. All right, listen. Now that we're on the 8th verse, Then has he put all things into subjection under his feet. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. He left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not all things put under him. That's death. We don't see death yet because we're still dying. We see death. But, ninth verse, but we see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Why was he made lower than the angels? So he could taste death. He had to die. He had to come to die. Look here, friend. Don't never forget this. When Jesus was going walking up the hill, death was a buzzing around his head. Let's take our picture to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. How could you reject it? I hear a sound coming through the street. What is it? It's a bumping of something. It's an old rugged cross coming down, going out the gates of Damascus. Bumping over the cobblestones. Them big cobblestones are still there. Bumping over these big cobblestones. Bump the bump. I see the spatting of the blood on the street. What is it? It's a man that's done no harm. Nothing but good. The people were blind. They didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. You say blind, could they have their sight? You can still have your sight and be blind. You believe that? The Bible said so. Remember Elisha down at Dothan? He went out and smote the people blind and said, "Now follow me." They were blind to him. And people are blind tonight. A certain church that don't believe in divine healing walked up to me one time and said, "Smite me blind. Smite me blind." Is that Brother Wright's house? Said, "Smite me blind." Said, if Paul smote a man blind one time, said, "Smite me blind." I said, "Friend, the devil's already done it. You're already blind. Sure you are." He said, "Heal this little girl and I'll believe you." I said, "Save that sinner and I'll believe you."
Amen.
Thirdly, or he said, "He has to believe." I said, "Same thing here. It has to come through the sovereign grace of God."
Amen.
The devil, the God of this world, has blinded the eyes of the people. They've got eyes, but they can't see, the Bible says. Here he was going up the street, dragging out the bloody footprints on the road up. The bee of death was stinging around him, buzzing at him. "Just a little while, I'll have you." He's getting weak, thirsting, water. I was shot when I was laying up here in the field. Blood just pouring from me. I screamed for water, and my buddy run took his cap and put it down the water. Old stag-naked wiggle tails in the water. Come over and I helped my mouth open. He squeezed that because the blood was spurting like a fountain. Where I was shot to pieces with a gun. Thirsting! Then I know what my Lord must have been after bleeding all that morning. From 9 o'clock up till 3 o'clock in the evening, losing all that blood. I see his robe first like little bitty spots on it. And all those spots begin to get bigger and run together, make one great big bloody spot hitting him on the leg. As he walked around, that was Emmanuel's blood. Oh, the earth wasn't worthy of it. But as he goes up, this beast staying around him, what did he do? It finally stung him. But brother, anyone knows that an insect or a bee, if it ever stains you once, that finishes the stinging business. It can't sting no more. Because when it leaves, it pulls its stinger out. That's the reason God had to be made flesh. He took the stinger of death into his flesh, and he pulled the stinger out of death.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Death can hum and sting, but it can't hurt you. Oh, when he felt that bee humming around him, death was coming around him. He said, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" He could point to Calvary where it's left in the flesh of Emmanuel. Where is thy victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we don't see all things, but we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for suffering of death. For it becometh him, for whom are all things, that by whom we have all things, in it begin many sons, but be made the chief captain of our salvation through suffering. The only way he could become the captain of our salvation, he had to suffer. Listen to these beautiful words here now. Now listen. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one. Oh, don't you see the vine and the branch there? All one. For which cause he is not ashamed to be called brethren. See? Why? Listen to the next verse. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, for so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might destroy him which has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through death were always kept subject unto bondage. Man always feared death. Christ became sin, made low to take death upon himself, and he's not ashamed to be called our brother, for he was tempted just like we are tempted. And he can be the right kind of an intercessor because he stood the same kind of a temptation that you stand. And he took your place knowing that you couldn't take it yourself. So don't you see, brother, sister, the whole thing is grace. All of it is grace. It's not what you do anyhow. It's what he's already done for you. Now, you can't do one thing to merit your salvation. Your salvation is a gift. Christ became sin that you might become righteous. And he's the right kind of a chief captain for our salvation because he suffered just like we suffered. He's been tempted just like we're tempted. And he's not ashamed to be called our brother. Because he knows what we go through with. Oh, blessed be his name. For verily, he took not on him the form of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Oh, my. He didn't become an angel. He became the seed of Abraham. And we being dead in Christ, take on Abraham's seed and her heirs according to the promise. See, he never took on the form of an angel. He never became an angel. He became a man. He became the seed of Abraham and took the sting of death in his own flesh to reconcile us back to God and now steps there for an intercessor. How could we reject it for him? Listen. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation the sin of the people, that he might be the reconciler. See, there was enmity between God and man. And no man, they sent the angels, the prophets, they couldn't take your place because they had to pray for themselves. They couldn't take the place. Then he sent the law. The law was a policeman. It put us in jail. They couldn't bring us out. He sent the law. He sent the prophets. He sent the righteous. And everything could not make an atonement. But he come down and become one of us. Oh, my. I wish we had more time right now. I'd like to take you to that law of redemption. But we haven't. But just for a moment. That beautiful picture is in Ruth and Naomi. If you'll see there, the reconciliation. How that the husband, the man that was to redeem the lost and the fallen estate had to be kinfolks to the person that had lost the estate. That's the reason Boaz had to be was a kinsman to Naomi that he could get Ruth. And then he had to be worthy. He had to be able to do it to redeem the lost.
And Boaz at the gate gave a public testimony by kicking off his shoe that he had redeemed Naomi and all of her possession. And he had to be kinfolks. And that's the reason that Christ, God, had to become kinfolks to us. And he come down and was a man. And he suffered temptation. And he was laughed at and made fun of and persecuted and ignored and called Beelzebub and scoffed at and suffered death under capital punishment. See, he had to be kinfolks to us. He had to be falsely accused because you're falsely accused. He had to bear sickness because you're sick. He had to bear sins because it was your sin. And he had to become kinfolks. The only way he could redeem us was to be kinfolks to us. And how he become kinfolks is by taking on the form of sinful flesh and becoming one of us. And in that he paid the price and redeemed us back into the fellowship of the Father. Oh, what a Savior. Words couldn't express it. For in that he himself has suffered, been subject, and able to succor them that are tempted. Succor means to sympathize. That's the reason he become this, that he might be sympathetic with you who are have your ups and downs and your little ins and outs and your temptations get so great you can't hardly stand it. He knows how to sympathize with you. He sits there to make intercession. He sits there to love you. And though you go astray, he won't forsake you. He'll still come after you and knock at your heart. There's not a backslider in the building who won't know that God knocks at his heart daily, and he will do it as long as you're a mortal on this earth. For he's loved you. He redeems you. Poets has tried. Authors has tried. Man has tried to express that theme of love, and it cannot be found in human expressions. One said, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how fabulous and strong. It shall forevermore endure. Saints and angels song.
Yeah.
If we would thank the ocean field and where the skies of parchment made, every stalk on earth a quill and every man ascribe a trade, the like the love of God above would drain the ocean dry.
Yeah.
Or could the scrolls contain the whole old stretch from sky to sky? You'll never understand. There's no way for us to understand how that great sacrifice that he did came down and reconciled us back to God. Then he went back and said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come again and be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And here we are today, living in the end time with the same Jesus, the same things, same signs, same wonders, same salvation, same Spirit, doing the same thing, same gospel, same word, same illustration, same manifestation, everything. It behooves us not to neglect this great salvation. For we'll have to give an account someday with what we do with the Son of God. He's on your hand tonight, sinner. Backslider, what are you going to do with him? You say, well, I'll put it off. Well, remember, don't you do that. There's no way at all, if you're a sinner, that you can leave this building and be the same. You can't do it. Pilate one night tried to do it. He called for some water. And he washed his hands. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I just the same as never seen it. I never heard the gospel. I want nothing to do with it. Could he wash it off with his hand? He couldn't. Finally, you know what happened to Pilate? He lost his mind. And way up in Switzerland, where we was at last year, preaching the gospel. Now, there's an old legend that said that there's a pool of water where people come from all over the world to watch every year at the time of the crucifixion. Pilate, he plunged himself to death by committing suicide, jumping into this water and drowning himself. And every year at that same day, blue water boils up out of that pool to show that God rejected the water. Water can never wash the blood of Jesus off of your hands or your soul. There's only one way to do it. That's accepted as your personal pardon and be reconciled to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We thank thee for Jesus. As we see this great day that we're living in, how the signs and wonders, how we let these things slip by.
God opened the eyes of the people in this tabernacle tonight that they might see and understand that we're in the last hours. The time is fleeting. We haven't got much longer to be here. And we'll have to see Jesus. And we'll have to be counted traitors. For there's no excuse. This morning, when you gave that great mighty vision of that man coming here from way in the country yonder, and a scene beyond a shadow of doubt, rise from that wheelchair, receive his sight, his legs become strong, down through the building, rejoicing and praising God. It shows that God's still able these stones to rise shoulder to Abraham. You see the visions, like Jesus said, I do nothing till the Father shows me. I can do nothing. The blind man followed him and said, have mercy on us. He said, touch their eyes and said, according to your faith be it unto you. Now, Lord, we see Jesus. We don't see all things. We see we still take the sainted of us to the grave and walk over each other's grave. But we see Jesus who made the promise. We see him with us. Not Jesus in the grave. Not Jesus 2,000 years ago, but Jesus tonight. That's with us. We see him manifested in all of his power and signs and wonders. God, may we never neglect this great salvation, but may we embrace it and accept it and be reverent and live by it until the day that Jesus comes to take us home. Grant it, Lord. We ask it in his name, and while we have our heads bowed, I wonder if there's a person in the building tonight under the divine presence of the Holy Spirit would say, Brother Bannon, I'm convinced that I'm wrong. I'm convinced that I'm wrong. God has revealed to me my sin, and I know that I'm wrong. I'll raise my hand to him and ask for mercy tonight. God be merciful to me. I'm wrong. Would you do that? While we wait just a moment, if there's a person here that wants you, there's a baptizing going to take place just in a moment. And if you're a sinner, I would repent. How can you reject such matchless love of one who died? The holy God of heaven became a sinful man, not because he sinned, but because he had your sins and bare them there to Calvary, and you won't accept that pardoning. Won't you do it tonight? While we have our heads bowed, someone say, remember me, Brother Branham. I raise my hands to Christ and say, be merciful to me. I am wrong, and I want to be reconciled to God. Would you raise your hand? All right. If everyone's Christians then, let us pray. Father, we thank thee tonight that everyone in here are Christians, that they have witnessed the same by remaining silent, that their sins are all of their blood. And I'm so grateful for that. Bless them, Lord. Oh, I'm so glad that they have found reconciliation through the offering of the blood. By hearing the word, the washing of the water by the word, it cleanses us. It brings us to the greatest place where the sinner in his vile darkness is made white as snow. The scarlet stains of sin has been washed away, and we are new creatures in Christ. How we thank thee for this. Now the baptismal service comes up. I understand that this young lady tonight is to be baptized down here in the name of her Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless this young woman. How my mind goes back to just a few days ago, coming up in Henryville and seeing that lovely little girl walking around on the street. And tonight she's a mother, a lady, who's accepted you as her personal Savior. Life has been hard for the child, Lord. Oh, God, but our heaven is sure for. And we thank thee for that. We pray, God, you'll bless the young woman now. And as she comes to be baptized with water, may you fill her with the Holy Spirit of God. Grant it, Lord, may her soul be just so thrilled into the heavens. Grant it for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from Acts, the second chapter. Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost, the first baptism was ever performed in the Christian church. Peter rebuking the Pharisees and the blind people for not recognizing the Son of God. Speaking of how that God had raised him up and proved his works and great signs and wonders. Listen to this. As he spoke, he was exalting Jesus. Every Christian spirit exalts Jesus. Not only by your lips, but by your life. Your lips can say one thing, your life can do another. If you do that, you know what it is? It's hypocrisy. And I'd rather face heaven as an infidel than a hypocrite. I take my chance better. I believe in heaven as an infidel than to be a hypocrite. Certainly, if you testify for Jesus and say he's the Savior, you live like that because people's going to expect it out of you. That's right. You live like a Christian ought to. We went through that this morning. Now, Lord willing, tomorrow night or Wednesday night, we're taking this third chapter, which is a marvelous chapter. And now, be sure to try to come Wednesday. How many of you enjoy this book of the Sunday school teaching? Oh, thank you very much. That's fine.
Now, I want to read now from Acts, the second chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. They knew it. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Now listen to him speak about David, one of the angels. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. David couldn't go up. He was under the shed blood of heifers and goats and sheep. But now he's been raised. He's under the blood of the Lord Jesus, for they only answered to that blood when it would come in force. When the blood of Christ come in force, all those who had died in good favor rose. That's right. And ascended into glory. Now listen. Therefore let all the house of Israel know. Listen to this. That God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. How about that? Is he a third person of the Trinity, or is he the entire Trinity? He is the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is no such a thing as three gods. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's not even in the Scriptures, nowhere. Nowhere is it. Nowhere was we ever commanded to baptize in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Not nowhere in the Scriptures. It's a Catholic creed, and it's not for the Protestant Church. I'll ask anybody to show me one Scripture where any person was ever baptized any other way than in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come show it to me, and I'll put a sign on my back, a hypocrite, and a false prophet, and a false teacher, and go through the streets. There's no such a thing. Never was anybody baptized that way. It's a Catholic creed and not a Protestant doctrine. Matthew 28:19. You say, Jesus said, go ye therefore all the world, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's correct, but not in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. The name of the Father, the name, not name, of the Father. Father's not a name. How many knows that? How many fathers is your raise your hand? How many sons is your raise your hand? How many humans is here? Raise your hand. Alright. Now, what's your name? Not father, son, nor human. A woman said to me one time, who's a strict tritheist, she said, Brother Branham, but the Holy Ghost is a name. I said, the Holy Ghost is not a name. The Holy Ghost is what it is. It is the Holy Ghost, not a name. That's what it is. I'm a human, but my name's not human. My name's William Branham. So if he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter, 10 days later, said, repent. Now here, listen to this. And when they heard this, they were pricked at their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, man, brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then did Peter do what Jesus told him not to do? He wasn't confused. We're the ones confused. On Acts 2:38, the Jews were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by mercy. And Acts 8, we find out that Philip went out and preached to the Samaritans and baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Samaritans. And Acts 10:49, Peter commanded the Gentiles to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, Acts 10:5, he passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he finds disciples. They were a Baptist disciples, if ever one Baptist. They were converted under a Baptist preacher by the name of Apollo. And he was a Baptist preacher, and was proven by the Bible that Jesus was the Christ. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we know not where there be any Holy Ghost, and how was you baptized? They said, we've been baptized with the same man that baptized Jesus. The whole water out there, that's good enough. Paul said, that won't work now. Have to be baptized over again. And Paul commanded them to be baptized over again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, hands on, and the Holy Ghost come on. Right. Yes, sir. It'll be like in the evening time. The path of glory you shall surely find in the waterway. That's the light of day. Buried in the precious name of Jesus, young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely enter in. The evening light has come. It is the fact that God and Christ are one. That's what the Bible says. That's right. It's the hour, it's the time that we should repent. Now, all when you're ready in the pool of wheels, you're ready, all right, to pull the curtains. Now, the Lord bless you now as a brother minister. Can you all see this?